Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And I think it really is about the exclusivity and appreciating failure thing. I think that's a huge part of it.
I think there's something else going on, though. And it's that there aren't that many people complaining about this new playoff thing.
It's just
that the ones who are complaining complain loudly. Yeah. And they wave the flag of antiquity. And I don't think it resonates with very many people, because I read a pretty wide cross-section of opinion over the last couple of days on this. And most people find it at least intriguing, or are inspired to say, well, that's okay, but they should do this too. There's not a reluctance to tinker with the game. The game's biggest problem is not going to be solved by this, because all we're really talking about is 12 extra games max, and one day where you get to watch people say, the team we're going to play is worse than the other team we're going to play.
What this really does is sweeten the TV deal, right?
Yeah, it really does.
And that's all it does.
But ultimately, the problems with baseball have to do with the fact that there is not enough athleticism on display day in and day out.
Enough of the time.
The time is part of it, but...
Speaking of which, the time is 4 o'clock.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
God, I hate that guy. No, getting back to what we were talking about, the problem with baseball is it's too static now. And it's static in a way that it's never been before. The three true outcomes are making the game hard to enjoy. And that's for people who enjoy the game.
So what's a fix? Is there a fix? Because to me, the problem with that, and I think you're right, Ray, but the problem with that analysis is it leads me to the conclusion that baseball's just going to become more and more of a niche sport for people who are really interested in the numbers side of it until that's all it is. And it's not really one of the major American sports in the way it has been for its entire existence. Because all you're saying is people doing things the most mathematically sound, supportable way is taking the soul out of the game. And if that's true, what's the solve?
The solve is for creative people to think outside the strict mathematical box.
But then it has to work, too.
And it does have to work. I mean, creativity that doesn't work is just stupidity.
Creativity
that works is what pays off, and you have to either figure out ways to play the game that rewards speed and action better than waiting a pitcher out. The rules changes that they're introducing this year don't affect that at all. They're 3-batter minimum for pitchers now, mm-hmm. which means that might speed up the game
a little bit
incrementally, but it also eliminates a lot of left-handed relief pitchers who are fun to watch. I mean, but let me get past that.
Okay.
They're getting rid of the 40-man roster in September now. It's down to 28. And a 15-day injured list for pitchers from 10. And now managers have 20 seconds to challenge an umpire call for replay. Now, of those four, none of them address that problem. The only way that problem is going to be addressed is for somebody to figure out a way to resuscitate the mid-80s Cardinals, a team that lived on speed and derring do and great defense and people doing athletic things. It's standing around trying to work a pitcher for an 11-pitch walk. While it may be effective, it also drives people away from the set or away from their phone or their laptop because it's watching catch.
So part of that is getting more athletes in the game, which I think there are a lot of things baseball could do to affect that. I don't think the best athletes in America are choosing baseball now hardly at all.
No, well, because that goes to a more deep-seated problem, which is that baseball in the inner cities, if it isn't dead, it's dying, in large part because baseball is expensive just by having to find a field to play in, And inner cities don't have that kind of real estate.
What
anymore.
Didn't we have a travel baseball parent say he was spending like college tuition basically to softball?
That was girls softball. Yeah, that he was dropping like $14,000
same
a
cost
summer
though, right? It's the field cost.
Baseball,
it's the same
baseball
thing.
Is if anything more expensive,
right?
Because of those same things.
Yeah, but see, here's the other side of this to me, and this is what concerns me as someone who does like baseball, particularly exciting athletic baseball, is even if you had the talent, I'm not so sure that today's GMs and managers, well, more GMs, wouldn't have told those 80s Cardinals to play like this.
Look,
no, you're right. I mean, the one of the things that technology has foisted upon baseball is an orthodoxy of new thinking that diminishes the manager, which is one of the few ways where you can sort of see creativity in action and different schools of thought. Now the general manager is calling pitching changes.
Well, and it also limits the hitters because it tells them basically it's not a good idea to be aggressive.
If you're a pull hitter married to a launch angle, that means you're not choking up with, you know, two strikes against you, looking for just a slapper the other way. The slapper the other way is what put that right fielder in motion, coming up throwing a cannon to third base, which was the bang-bang play that is now missing from the sport and it's less sexy. My criticism of Triple's Alley at Oracle Park was not that triples aren't exciting, it's that stand-up triples aren't exciting. And that's
agreed.
What it was. It was a stand-up triple. The only time a triple is exciting is if there's a play at third happening.
Well, and just in general, all the most exciting plays in baseball come with a ball in play. It's not rocket science, right? And baseball philosophy has come to value not putting the ball in play as often as possible.
I guess that's sort of where this all sort of ends. It's a general manager's game now. And I defy you to show me a sports fan in any sport who would rather try to figure out the salary cap
right.
than watch the game.
Well, and this to me gets to sort of the root of all of this, which is all the things you might think of doing to change that biggest problem of entertainment value. And a lot of people on the text line have been saying things like, just get rid of pitchers altogether, throw a hitting machine and it'll be 30-24. It's not that. Pitching's great, too. The point, it's not just offense, purely. The point is, it's more excitement, more action, more athleticism on display, and it seems to me that every change you could make that would lead the logic to that sort of baseball is a material change to baseball. And we all know, in terms of internal rules, baseball is not interested in significant changes that would truly make it a different sport than it was 100 years ago.
Somebody in the Texans like, don't change any rules except start the counts at 1-1. That's changing a major rule.
And I don't really know how it would help.
Let me explain to you how ridiculous that is. I've heard that many, many times. Why not just start every hitter at 1-1? Or two strikes, you're out, three balls, a walk. Like, what's the difference?
You know, there isn't one. No.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
And I'll tell you another thing that baseball suffers from, and this is even more organic. Resales of clubs have gotten richer people owning teams, and rich people tend to, the more wealthy you are, the better you are at believing in numbers. So you hire general managers who believe in the overarching supremacy of numbers. And basically having their teams play with an overarching eye toward that. And when you have everybody doing that, you have a sameness in the game from team to team. You know who the most radical team in baseball is right now?
Tampa.
That's 2 years ago. They were the most radical team in baseball 2 years ago. Now a lot of people are doing that. Now Tampa, because it's a low-budget team, has to figure out new creative ways to be different than everybody else. They're trying to do...
Find the market
what
inefficiency.
Billy Beane... No, more than that. It's not the market of inefficiency. It's to find it in a thicket of numbers. Because everybody else is now... They've taken the idea that put them on the map. Now they've got to do it a different way, and they can't just do it with 10 starting pitchers.
So who's the most creative?
Right now?
I mean, it was your question, and I said Tampa.
It is my question. Yeah, yeah. No.
You said 2 years ago. Who's your answer this year?
I think in a weird way, it's the Dodgers. Because while they hit you over the head with their wallet by signing Mookie Betts, they put players of action at nearly every spot on the diamond. The one weakness they have is the bullpen, which is in many ways the least athletic part of the game. But there isn't a guy in their top eight that you would say, I can miss this guy's at bat and feel confident nothing will happen.
Let's line you up right now to play a little name game. Get in line. 888-957-9570. Today we're going to be playing for a pair of tickets to see the Deftones at Bill Graham Civic on July 30th. Tickets are on sale on Friday. This Friday. Valentine's Day. Tickets go on sale on Friday at Ticketmaster.com, but you can wear a pair of tickets playing the name game. Right now, a chance to see the Deftones at Bill Graham Civic. Get in line. We're looking for a player in sports. Two first names. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570. While we're waiting for people to get in line, baseball, again, more like it was 100 years ago than any other sport, but now officially less like it was just 8 years ago. There is a new postseason proposal, which is essentially just a dangled carrot to a new television deal, more than it is the right thing to do.
Well, but this speaks to something that Ray says all the time about ownership, that they're not actually interested in the health of the game or the future of the game or even the long-term financial success of the game. They're in it for the biggest, quickest buck they can make.
Right. Old men want to cash out right now.
And the biggest, quickest buck you can make is almost always a national television contract.
Yeah. And in 15 years, that will be different, and they don't know what's coming. But I'll bring this back to the Warriors. Everybody's all excited about the fact that they've made their team worth $4.3 billion. That should be about 54th on the list of things that fans should care about. But because every other team wants to, we want to increase our value, you know, so we can do one of two things. Get in on the gravy train, which is a new TV deal, or sell. Problem is, if you sell, that's the one-time payout, and you don't get back in because prices aren't going down. I mean, there's a reason why there are nothing but billionaires left in sports. It's because it's too expensive not to be, and the guys who are already in the club only respect you if you are a billionaire. I mean, Joe Lacob isn't respected because he has a ton of money by ownership standards. He's one of the poorest owners in terms of net worth of any of them. But his factory is the fifth most lucrative one in all of sports globally.
I mean, I'd have to look at that Kleiner Perkins spreadsheet before I'd agree with you that he's among the
name owners.
Personal net worth. He's not a billionaire.
Well, just keep in mind, when he bought the team, it was $500 million.
No. But the team is worth that. I'm talking about separate from that.
Yes. No, I know what you're talking about. I think you're absolutely right.
And he got looked at differently when he came in because he was viewed as a poor guy with a big mouth.
Here's the other part, though, is very rarely does the big billfold not take the, quote, owner chair. And the big billfold in the Warrior purchase was Peter Guber. But Joe Lacob is the guy who's been the name owner.
Well, they came up, they just gave him the deal they couldn't refuse. I mean, they outbid Larry Ellison.
They didn't outbid Larry Ellison. That's not so.
No, well, they put $50 million more basically in the opening offer pot. Shake my hand right now, team sold. Yes or no?
No, that's not what happened. What happened was Ellison put in the most money, but because Cohan loathed Ellison, he got Lacob to drive his offer up another $50
million. Close enough.
He didn't outbid Ellison. Ellison had the most money offered, but Cohan, out of his own personal spite, sold to Lacob and Guber, and it turned out to be great for the franchise. I'm not saying that that didn't happen, but the guy with the most money on the table was Larry Ellison.
I've heard that a little differently, but you might be right, and we're certainly not going to debate it because it's officially time to play the name game. We're looking for somebody in sports with two first names, and those two first names, should you come up with them, are going to send you to go see the Deftones July 30th at Bill Graham Civic. Tickets will be on sale this Friday at 1 o'clock at Ticketmaster.com. You can win them before they go on sale if you win today's name game. Two first names. Yes or no questions. That's all you're allowed to ask. If you hear a yes, you get to ask another question or take your guess. If you hear a no, we're going to be moving on. Nash, hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for
The Name Game.
Starring anyone with two first names.
What's your name?
My name?
Dirt first. It's a funny name.
What'd you say his name was again?
His name is Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby? He's got two first names.
Now, here's your host with two first names, Damon Bruce.
Oh, welcome, welcome. It is good to have you here. We'll start with Goss in Los Gatos. Thank you, Goss, for the call. What is your yes or no question?
Am I a professional athlete?
You were. It's not exact. So that.
Am I John Sally?
No, you're not John Sally, but thank you very much.
He did ask a yes or no question, but it was just a hard one to answer yes or no.
Well, he used the first person instead of the third
person.
Well,
but if, never mind that. Just, is someone a professional athlete? You should be able to say yes or no, but it was tricky.
Let me ask you this. Are you a professional athlete once you're no longer actually playing like you were?
That's a great question. I don't know.
When do you cease to be a professional athlete when you were a professional athlete? When you retire? I don't know.
Let me tell you this. If Lorenzo Neal happens to need to come back in to pick up a pen he dropped or something, I'm not going to be the one to tell him he's not a professional athlete.
Ray can do that. This is Jeff in Sunnyvale. Jeff, what's your yes or no question?
Am I a manager or a head coach?
No. Thank you very much for the call.
That's only a yes or no question if it's no.
Tina in Fremont. Tina, what's your yes or no question? Tina, are you there?
No.
I guess that's enough.
I heard Tina breathing.
I did. I thought I heard her for a second there, too. 888-957-9570. You can hop on two lines I got available. This is Daniel in Vallejo. Daniel, thank you very much. What's your yes or no question?
Am I a retired athlete?
Yes.
Was I a Major League Baseball player?
No. Thank you very much for the call. So we got a retired athlete, Ben in Hayward. Ben, what's your yes or no question?
Does he play football?
No. No, he did not. Not a baseball player, not a former football player.
Not John Sally.
You know I hate soccer, and I'm just going to tell you it ain't golf either. Not hockey.
Tennis.
This is Reese in Oakland. Reese, what's your yes or no question?
Am I in my respective sports Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay. Am I a basketball player formerly?
Yes.
Okay. Did I play in the Western Conference?
Yes.
Okay. Am I still alive?
Yes. I don't think anyone's ever gone four questions in a row. This is pretty good.
Reese is on a roll.
I'm almost rooting for you at this point, Reese.
Okay. Did I win a championship?
No.
No.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
appreciate
Heartbreak
you.
Heartbreak City.
Darren in Sacramento. Darren, what is your yes or no question?
Hey, man, that guy just blew me up because I was going with Bill Russell, but I'm thinking that's not it because he's playing the Western Conference.
Correct.
But if it's otherwise, I'd go with Bill Russell.
Well, Darren, you should have played the rules. You might have gotten a correct answer instead of telling me what you might have done.
It's true.
888-957-9570. Just knock them up. Just get them up. I understand that everyone who's calling is calling for the name game. Just get them up, Lucas, as fast as you can. 888-957-9570. We're playing for Deftone tickets July 30th at the Bill Graham Civic. We're looking for a retired NBA Hall of Famer whose career was spent on the West Coast. Matt in San Mateo,
Western
you're next
Conference.
In line. Western Conference, thank you very much. Matt, hello. What's your yes or no question?
Does he play in the Eastern Conference?
I'm not
Are
even,
you
just,
serious,
I,
Matt?
Just, Matt?
Is that for real? Did
for
that
shame.
Really just happen?
That really just happened. I mean, I could not have recapped it more in your ear. If I licked your earlobe as I was doing it.
That might be my favorite name game call of all time.
Pretty strong.
Would he have played in the Eastern Conference if he hadn't played in the Western Conference?
Michael, what is your yes or no question?
Michael,
are you there? I guess you're not.
That's still better than the last call.
Really was. This is Ben. Ben? I tell you,
Ben's
Ben,
here.
Yeah, Lucas, put up a city. Just name and city. Ben, what's your yes or no question?
Ben.
Yes, Ben.
Did I play in the Pacific Division?
Oh, God. Who knows the names of the divisions?
Yes, he did.
He did. Was he on the Portland Trailblazers?
No, he was never a Portland Trailblazer. We go to Patrick. Patrick, thank you very much. What's your yes or no question?
Is he Canadian?
Yes, Patrick's onto it.
He is Canadian. Did he play for the
Phoenix Suns? Yes,
yes,
Patrick.
He is, Patrick.
Spit it
yes,
out, Patrick.
Yes, he did.
Is his name Steve Nash?
Go! Patrick showed off, though.
Patrick, I am putting you on hold. Congratulations to you. I don't know where you're from, but I do know where you're going on July 30th. You got tickets to go see the Deftones at the Bill Graham Civic here in San Francisco. Tickets are going on sale on Friday. Again, thanks to Ticketmasters and our promotions department for coming up with a cool pair of tickets to give away. We are going to be getting you out to Warriors basketball in just a little bit. As a matter of fact, Matt, you're going to keep on going here.
I'm not
go.
Going anywhere. I'll be right here.
Yeah, Whitey's coming in. You got JD with you today?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Warriors basketball coming up tonight in Phoenix. So that's the whole Steve Nash tie-in. Plus, he's a Warrior consultant. You see what we did?
I was thinking.
But for those who are complaining about Nash is not a first name, what do you think about that, Nash?
It's bogus because I'm Nash.
There you go.
First name, baby.
Definitely a first name, but
I think people could make a valid claim, though, that it's not human.
Somebody asked, did he win a championship?
Nice.
Does 2 years ago count?
No.
Okay.
Of course
Just
not.
Saying. He's
no.
part of the team.
Not
the He's employed by the organization.
So was Raymond Ritter.
Yeah. Raymond Ritter's not an NBA champion.
Sure he is. Raymond Ritter's absolutely an NBA champion.
My ass.
Raymond.
Neither is that.
Raymond, text a picture of your rings.
And text me a picture of the best box score you had.
Libby Schaff has a ring.
Okay, but we all know she doesn't work for the organization.
Oh, she did in many ways.
Right. Is Bob Fitzgerald an NBA champion?
Yes.
Wow.
Stop it. Yes. No.
So is Dwayne Kuiper. Well, he's an MLB champion, but... Same idea.
Marty Lurie has 3 World Series rings.
That's too far.
Okay.
Okay.
I wanted to know where we were drawing the line.
So there's
He's
no
not
standard
a team
at all. It's just what you think.
He's not a team employee. There's a very clear delineation. Did you work for the team that won the championship? Yes, you're a champion. Did you not? No, you're not a champion.
How about the guy who works the chafing dish in Lacob's lair?
I mean, he's definitely a champion.
He's just
I don't think there's any question about that. It's the best chafing job you can get.
You're starting to chafe me.
It is good chafing. Harrison Barnes update. Are you ready? I didn't know we were going to have one of these today. I'm here for it. Harrison Barnes update, according to ESPN's Tim McManaman.
McMahon.
There is a McManaman, though.
There's Dave
McManaman. Thank you.
And there's also a bunch of breweries up in Oregon.
Thank you very much. Harrison Barnes isn't cutting his hair or shaving until the Kings hit 500 or the season ends. He made the vow mid-December, and apparently he's looking pretty rugged and shaggy these days.
All that tells me is his post-career plan is to be in ZZ Top.
Manscaping.
I'm sorry, this is only vaguely related. But since I saw this update in our little box here, I've been trying to find photos. So I Googled Harrison Barnes beard. And what I got was a tweet from 2013 where a random Warrior fan with a bald avatar said, "Tough loss for my Dubs. At least this will give Harrison Barnes 2 days to grow a real beard." And Harrison Barnes replied, "My beard will come the same time your hairline comes back."
Good. Well, at least he was feisty in that moment. I like that. Normally, he's very diplomatic. That's he only says the right thing. That's as spicy
very
as he
feisty
gets.
Barnes.
It really is.
And nobody noticed. 4 retweets, 9 likes.
But if your beard is dependent
it doesn't make
upon
any sense.
The success of the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, that's bad.
I mean, isn't that like a tree landing in the forest?
He's just giving himself.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.